So we've asked six congregants to come and just share their salvation story, and we gave them 3 minutes. If it's too long, we've got a crook, and we'll just pull it out and just do it like, no, they'll be great. So anyway, Skylar, why don't you come and kick us off here? Everybody say, God bless Skylar. This man right here has got a $1 million smile. I tell him that all the time. Come on, look at that bad smile. Come on. All right. Thank you, Skylar.
Everyone, my name is Skylar. I'm one of the students at NC State, part of ENC. Just very great to know everyone here and be a part of this faith community. My testimony is this. I grew up culturally Christian, or part of that community, and from a young age, I noticed that, and I didn't really believe in it. It just didn't really make sense to me. So, and that's how I just lived my life until I became friends with someone in senior year of high school, and she was really genuine about her faith. She was not afraid to share what God was doing for her in her life. She shared with me her testimony, and she even gifted me her Bible, and it was full of like all these annotations, all these highlights. It was something that really touched my heart, and so I felt compelled to really give it a try, and I started reading the Bible. I would pray on occasion, and I became very familiar with who Jesus was and what he did and why he died for us. But I had not yet encountered the Spirit of God. And I wouldn't until I was invited to NC State for a worship night. And during that time, I was studying at Wake Tech. I was in some kind of computer engineering degree. I'd chosen it not because I was passionate or even good at it, but because I was worried about how much money I'd be making in the future and, you know, my career and stuff like that. And because of that, I had no passion in my education. I was discouraged. Life felt uncertain. I didn't know if I would even finish my degree. And I came into that with all those things weighing me down. But the person on stage, they told all of us to take all the things that are holding us back from trusting God, all the worries, all the stresses, all the uncertainties, all the things that we don't want to let go, and to ball them up in our fists and to let them go as if we were giving them to Christ. And in that moment, I felt a wave of peace I'd never felt before. And I've just felt this sense of calm and certainty. And in that moment, I decided to start living my life for Christ. And he helped me realize that when it comes to deciding what I'd study, that not to look to money as a motivator, but to him and the passions and the gifts and the talents that he's given me. And I felt him calling me to education. So I applied for an elementary education degree at NC State. And just by doing that, just by trusting him with that, I've seen things just line up in my life. Like, I didn't know where I wanted to, or I was going to live, because I didn't want to dorm with a random person. And Jacob and Alex, out of nowhere, they asked me if I wanted to live with them. We had only spoken a few times. I didn't know how I was going to pay for things. I had rent, I had car insurance, I had car payment, and God has just been blessing me financially time and time again. And so I would like to encourage y'all to trust God with those things, with whatever it is, with your education, with a business decision, whatever it may be, and watch him just pave the path in front of you. And thank you.
All right, Bob, Sean, come on up here. Let's say God bless Bob. We're going to get every station in life. Next time we do this, we're going to have a child. So we're building up. All right, Bob.
Thank you. That was wonderful, Skylar. Thanks for leading us. So I'm going to tell you a before and after, simple as I can. Simply, I was someone with a lot of questions. Who am I? What is my purpose? Why do I hurt inside so badly? Someone who was held captive by philosophy and simple deceit, empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elements of the spirit of the world. Someone who could not read a single page of the Bible. Every time I opened it, headache. Simply, I was a husband and a father who fell short. Someone hunted a lost sheep by biblical radio stations which constantly played throughout the house on a portable radio. Anne, I love you. Anne repents and believes years before me. Because of her thirst, she played biblical radio constantly in the house. Simply, I was a sinner who saw a law of sin at work in me. Hence, I was someone asking what to do. What must I do? That day, summer of 1998, in my living room, I was lying flat on the floor and I was crying out to the Lord. I will never forget that day, that day's experience. Like a freight train running through my heart and soul, I was born again that day. Amen. After. First, I'm a child of God, someone who is in Christ Jesus. Romans 8 says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you and me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. Previously, I was a person who felt the pull of altar calls, but I just didn't follow through. Hence, the very next altar call, I walked to the front. When I was done, I looked to my left, and there was my oldest son, George, who was 12, confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. Later, three more children, my father, Ann's father, and others got saved. God has a wonderful way at which he works math. Simple addition turns into multiplication. Thanks be to God who used Ann. We're a team. After becoming born again, I was someone who thirsted and hungry for the Word of God. Hence, I signed up for a year-long Bible study in the fall of 1998. Vicki Long, she sits right there, she was in my class. The first Bible I could find, a child's Bible, I took. Then I moved to my wife's Bible, a woman's Bible. I didn't care who laughed. After the Bible study, I was someone who knew a little bit of God's Word. Therefore, I asked Jesus to teach me like he taught Luther, Wesley, and others, the book of Romans. Jesus answered me, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I did not even know that what Jesus spoke that day was in the Bible until I studied Hebrews 4 years later. I'm going to show you a picture. Alex, you got it? This is me going through the Bible for 2 years. Every time through Romans, I picked a different color. Remember, I got headaches when I read the Bible. Today, I'm still growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This February, I learned a deep and very deep details about forgiveness by reading Total Forgiveness by R.T. Kendall. I had understood and received God's total forgiveness, yet I needed to learn how to give others total forgiveness. I learned from the book, Let the Past Be the Past at Last. And there's an acronym, NEED, a checklist before one speaks. Is what I'm about to say to a person necessary? Does it encourage, edify, dignify the person? Proverbs 16 says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Mark my words, no other God, no other religion can do what the gospel does, period. Transform a man or woman through the death and resurrection of Christ into newness. My heart cries out, Abba, Father. Oh yes, I am home. Hallelujah.
We always tease and say, Asia, swallowed a light bulb, always smiling. Come on, Asia, share your story.
Hello, everyone. My name is Asia. Maybe like 2 weeks ago when Pastor Taylor was talking about Easter, I just felt like I should share what the Lord did in my life. So essentially, before I knew the Lord, I struggled with like a deep loneliness, but I didn't think that I did. Like I had friends in school, but I just felt like alone. I could be around people, and I'd still feel like no one really understood me. Fast forward to my freshman year in college, and I had an existential crisis. Like Bob, I kind of was like, What am I even here for? Like, you know, like I get a career, I get married, I have a family, and then one day I pass away, like, what's the point of it all? I tried to go to counseling, but at the end, I kind of just tried to keep going with my life. So I thought, like a normal college student does, I went to a few parties, I made new friends, I tried to connect with a certain group of people, and I thought I was doing really good. In high school, I didn't do so great, so I was like, I'm going to apply myself really well in college. And I did. So I thought, you know, like, I'm doing really great for myself. But I didn't realize that I was actually pretty selfish. My family relationships were on a decline. But I really didn't know, like, how to fill that void that I felt. So fast forward to January 2020. I'm speaking to my friend in a classroom in my college dormitory. And this guy comes in from her class, and he was just coming in to the classroom to pray. And he said, like, you know, is it okay if I come in and pray? And we're both from the South, so we're like, that's fine. And he actually ends up praying for us. And so he prays for me, and he tells me that music didn't have to be my comfort, but that he was my comfort, God. And then he even described to me what my journal looked like. But what he didn't know was that music was my everything. I even could remember a memory of when something happened in my family, I listened to music to feel better about, you know, the situation. And my journal was like, it was like my heart just on paper. And so in that moment, God was sharing to me, oh, I see you. You're not alone. And so I was a little skeptical still, but I spent more time with my friend and then our new friend, the guy who prayed for us. He introduced me to ENC at UNCG. And the Lord just really gave me a heart for himself. I couldn't deny someone who, as we know about Jesus, he didn't just, you know, he came to serve, not to be served. And that, like, touched my heart. I was like, man, I want to follow him. And as I followed him, thanks be to God, he's given me church family. He's given me friends. He's just increased my joy in my life. And I still have questions, you know. Sometimes I still feel lonely. But deep down inside, I know that he is with me and he holds my future.
Thank you. Now, next we have Will Parker. Now, Will Parker's a day oneer. You know what a day oneer is? They've been here from the very beginning when we launched KPR. So anyway, y'all welcome Will. Come on, Will.
Morning, church. Brothers and sisters, it's an honor to be up here and share my story with you. I'll try to go quick. So I'm born and raised here in Raleigh. I'm one of the few actual natives of Raleigh. Growing up here, we went to church as a family, but it was sporadic. Sometimes we wouldn't go for weeks. It was a 45-minute service, maybe. I had no connection there. There was no prayer. There was no Bible study at home. So my perception as a child was this was just a duty. This is like, oh, this is something like homework. You know, it's like, oh, I got to do this, right? Instead of the joy that it should be. Right? So I know that now. But back then, I didn't connect with the kids there. We were from different cultures. I would get picked on because I'd hand-me-down clothes. All of this wrapped around into barriers between God and me. And these are things that I put on myself, you know? So as I grew up in my life, I didn't have anything to ever speak identity into me or give me direction or guidance. I love my parents, but they didn't really do that for me. They loved me and they supported me, but I never really was taught. I was never really instructed as the Bible teaches us to do so. I didn't have an identity. So what did I do? I was like, well, I want to be accepted. I want to be popular. I want to be, you know, or in the in crowd. I was a good athlete. So I went all in on that. I was like, I'll be a great athlete. And I achieved that. I was able to have a lot of friends. Then I got injuries. Well, that took that away. That was a pretty weak foundation. So what am I going to do now? I turned to partying. drugs, lifestyle of alcohol and staying up late, poor study habits. That lifestyle led me into college. Just as the world tries to glorify these things, you know, partying, acting wild, dancing, you know, promiscuity, all this kind of junk, that was what I was in. And I was in it full on. I was selling drugs. I was doing all kinds of crazy stuff. I almost died several times. I had a gun pulled on me. But it was in the midst of all that junk that God sent someone to disciple me. God sent someone to teach me what it is to be a true Christian man. He sent me someone to teach me the truth and to stand on that truth. So before, where I had loneliness, I now have family. Where I had insecurity and I picked on others, I now had confidence. Where I had pain, God gave me pleasure. Where I had depression, after a night of partying, I was the most depressed. When I should have been the most fun, God gave me joy. When I had anxiety, God gave me peace. Where I had fear, God replaced that with the gift of faith. And finally, where I had envy, pride, selfishness, shame, anger, evil, and all other kinds of garbage, God gave me love.
My Indian brother. Come on, brother. Y'all say, God bless Sandeep.
Myself, Sandeep, I was born in India. God is so amazing in my life and in my family. My mom and dad are missionaries. We do house churches in India, and we do street gospel too. I was grown up in our family as a Christian, like everybody. But my dad was so strict. He was very strict growing us. Like, we have to read every single day Bible. He used to give us a deadline. Like, he go out for an hour and he will say, you have to read 10 chapters, 20 chapters. When I come back, you have to tell me what happened in those chapters. Such a very strict. I didn't love God. I mean, like, you know, what's wrong with my parents, you know? Why are they like this? Because they are, what's wrong? Are they mad? Like, you know, who will allow their kids to be hard like this? Did God, Jesus told to be like that? I didn't believe all those. At some point when my life was going so low, when there is no change in my life, I was failing down in my education. I didn't study in a big schools. All the English you see is from King James Version English Bible that I was reading this every single day. And today I was here. I can read this Bible in 54 days. Such a way he trained me, my dad. He's very strict. I didn't like him all my life. Today, I love him so much. I love Jesus more than him. So God brought me to United States in last year. Before that, I was in Paris. All my life, wonders after wonders, miracles after miracles. Life has changed in this week. Like, where is David? I told him to pray for my H-1B visa. It's a lottery thing. I got H-1B visa lottery, man. God can do anything. He's nothing is impossible to him. I cannot say all my life in small, but if you ever want to talk with me, come talk to me. I will tell how he will change lives. He will turn. Psalms 113:7 says he will raise the poor from the dust. I'm nothing. I came to United States with empty hands. I had nothing in my hands. Like, God gave me everything. Random people giving me clothes, money. I don't know how I paid my tuition. I would have stopped my studies in NC State. I had nothing. I cannot work. They told me you cannot work because you transfer from Paris to United States. It's not legal to work. I was like, God, how can I work? I cannot work. They are saying all my hands and legs are tied, and how can I pay my bills and my tuition fee? God is amazing. He's marvelous. God gave me a promise, Exodus 34:10. It says, I will do marvelous things in your life, and those things never been done. All the things that Jesus has done in my life, whenever I share to students or anybody, they'll be like, man, I never heard about that. I never heard something like that. Somebody gave you a car? Like, for free? What? Somebody gave... I was working now. I graduated last December. It's been 3 months. You won't believe, in 3 months, I got promoted 3 times. Wow. from an intern to an international business manager, from international business manager, right now I'm a HR. Like, they are coming to me to sign. I don't even know how to sign. I don't know how to write my name. Like, how, like, God can turn a shepherd boy to king. That's true. These words are real. Guys, this is not a storybook. This is not a normal book. This is true. This is living. This has changed my life, and it will change everybody's. You might say, oh, my life is so bad. Man, you don't know. This is enough. Jesus came and he gave this one. We are so blessed, so lucky that we have something that can change our lives. God bless everyone.
As we say here, we are a reconciled house because we have several UNC grad, one of which, Brooke Cervini. All right, come on up. God bless you.
Thank you. I have paper so I can say on task and fast since I'm last. Good morning, everyone. Happy Resurrection Day. I'm thankful for this opportunity to share with you about how Jesus has taught me a lot of lessons of lordship through my life. By God's grace, I was saved at a very young age. I grew up in a Christian home, but I came home from VBS one day. Yay, VBS. It matters. The small things matter. And I asked my mom, what are they talking about? What does this mean to accept Jesus as your Lord? So she thankfully took the time to explain to me what that meant and prayed with me. And so very young age, I accepted Lord Jesus as my Lord. A theme that, as I was writing this out, showed up and made itself very clear to me was my life was a lot of very small moments that open big opportunities for me. So I read that big doors open on small hinges. So I'm going to go through a few things that were just small moments and small invitations that really opened the door to a greater understanding of lordship and submission and obedience. So fast forward, little kid accepts Jesus. I went to college at UNC, and seemingly small invitation, you know, campus minister was up at the front, who hasn't been baptized in water? And I was like, actually, I haven't. You know, I've grown up in the church all this time, but I was sprinkled as a baby. And so my first big act of lordship and obedience was to answer that call to be baptized in water. And then, funny enough, afterwards, a fellow student said, you know, what you really need after you're baptized in water is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because you need that in your life to make small decisions, and God will open up big opportunities of faith for you. The baptism in water is a commitment to submit to God and live out at Jesus as Lord of my life. And then the baptism in the Holy Spirit was empowering me to live my life with the Holy Spirit as my guide. So this made me think about my dad and the story of my dad teaching me a little bit about submission and a little bit about myself. He wisely realized I was a little different than my older two brothers, who would drag race home from school. I was not that kind of driver, and I was not that kind of person. I was very controlled, and I was very cautious, and I would often get really nervous in the car because I had 5 siblings, 3 older brothers watching me drive. So I would get nervous, and I would get distracted, and I would forget where I was going, and my parents were always like, don't you know how to get home from, like, the grocery store? So anyway, he realized I needed some help. So he took me to a big gravel parking lot, and he said, Brooke, when I tell you to, I want you to floor it and turn sharply to the left. The car will skid. I did not want to do that. I was like, let's turn around, let's go home. You know, I give up, hands off the wheel. He said, grip the wheel tightly and listen to my instructions. Lean into the skid. Lean in. Turn toward the skid. And I'll be right here beside you to help you. I needed to be comfortable. He realized I needed to be comfortable losing a bit of my own control and instead gripping tightly to the anchor of my soul. I mean, this is a spiritual lesson in driving. So my first prayers for God's Spirit to fill me and truly control me were new and overwhelming and a bit scary, similar to losing control of the car. Even now, relinquishing control can make my flesh crawl, and I just want to turn around, go back home, live my quiet life. But if I hold tight to Him and partner with Him as my God, He'll lead me in the right direction. This is Lordship. So after being filled with the Holy Spirit and learning to really trust God and relinquish control, another small hinge, and this is the last one, someone very, offhand said after I graduated, would you consider coming to China to teach? Because I went to school to be a teacher. And I said, okay. I just said yes. And I think that was just the grace of God on my life. And big door opened on that small decision of faith. His Spirit guided me as I navigated around communist China, being monitored, like they would listen to our phone calls. He helped me to teach and host students in house churches. He watched over me as I lived there during SARS, the SARS epidemic. This is precursor to COVID. So I was exposed to many physical and spiritual battles. Even just going to school in the morning, I had to throw myself on the grace of the Lord. It was like every day, throw yourself on the mercy of the Lord, get into that taxi by yourself. This was before GPS, right? So I didn't know where I was going. Tell them in Chinese, which was really bad. They probably didn't understand anything I said, where you need to go, and hope they don't take you on a tourist ride around the city. So that was the beginning of every day for me. So I really learned a lot about faith and about trusting God and throwing myself on His mercy. So submitting to the small invitations like going to China led me to greater and greater faith. In conclusion, what is the invitation the Lord has for you today? Is it to follow Him, ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life? Is it just a course correction, an invitation to take a U-turn? or is it maybe that you're the one extending the invitations? Do you need to ask someone to pray the prayer or take an opportunity, but just lean into the invitation of the Lord as He can continue to open big doors for all of us? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Come on. Thank you, all six. And thank you, Brooke. And the reason I thought it was good on another level to hear from Brooke is sometimes people think testimonies have to be dramatic and to where it's like, I was on Skid Row, I was, this, that, and the other. How many of you know the highest is when you make a decision in your youth, amen, or as a child? Amen to that? So very, very good. Can y'all thank them one more time for sharing their story? How many of y'all are on social media? Just curious. Just raise your hand on any level. For those on Facebook, Instagram, et cetera, usually a person would not wake up and roll out of bed in their pajamas, go to the mirror and take a picture of themselves unwashed with pillow head and post that as their profile picture. Would you agree? Most would not do that. On a dating app, usually someone would not work in the yard all day and get under and change the oil in their car and then decide to take a selfie and use that image to present themselves to eligible suitors. Amen. For the most part, I mean, I know there are a few anomalies. No, people are very conscientious about presenting their best. Are they not? Are we not? Putting their best foot forward, etc. I've attended funerals before, hearing the minister and others eulogize a person, making them sound almost angelic. And I'm thinking the whole time, who is this person that they're talking about? I know it's not the person in the box right there, but we're funny in that way. So everyone is window dressing and gussying up for image purposes, best foot forward, preserving our and presenting our best and sometimes souped up puffery, sometimes exaggerated, sometimes even deceptive, as people find out. So, but here's the truth on this Easter Sunday coming off of Holy Week. When we were at our worst, God sent His best. Again, when we, pillow head and all, when we were at our worst, God sent His best. Can we say that together? When we were at our worst, God sent His best. We, though, and our very limited ability to love properly, are repelled by something broken, unseemly, unattractive, weak, off-putting, revulsive, unclean, etc. And we often judge God by how we would respond to those situations and to those descriptions and context. Even according to Leviticus 13:45, lepers themselves were required to yell, "Unclean, unclean," as they would come into the city. And the onlookers were like, "Ah, leper." But it was their duty to self-incriminate and identify their affliction. Unclean, unclean, to warn others and to keep their distance and avoid contamination. Yet, glory to God, our loving God goes right to the contamination. I love that about God. He goes right to the disease. He goes right to the unseemly. He goes right to the broken. He goes right to the repulsive. He goes right to the off-putting, to the unclean, to the unattractive, to the rejected. Don't you love that about God on this Easter Sunday? He goes right to it. He's not like us, where we judge ourselves a certain way, trying to, again, gussy up and to present a certain false, many times, image. I mean, He just goes right to it. I mean, He came for us, did He not? I mean, lest we forget who He is, somebody. Amen? It's like Rice used to talk about with people and their best self-effort to kind of help their situation in life. He said, you know, you can put a little bow on a pig and put perfume on it, but the first mud hole it sees, it's just going to wallow, because that's what a pig does. In other words, you can try to, you know, help it out just a little bit. But anyway, God loves us nonetheless. Join me in Romans 5, if you would. Romans 5, 6 reads, Paul here, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this," what? "While we were still sinners, while we were still unattractive, while we were still jacked up, in that state, Christ died for us." And by the very word Savior, that implies we just can't do it. It doesn't matter how hard we try. Old Martin Luther in the 1500s would walk on his knees up the steps, harsh treatment of the body, wearing his priest out. He was doing everything he could with his self-effort, his self-righteousness, until he got up into Habakkuk and read, "The just shall live by faith." And then he read it confirmed over in Romans, "No, the just shall live by faith." And he's like, "I've been hoodwinked." And he began to preach the doctrines of faith and grace, and the Protestant Reformation was born, because it's all by grace of a loving God who looked at our predicament and our situation, and He says, "I love you nonetheless. Yes, you're jacked up, but I'm coming for you. Yes, you are spiritual lepers, but I'm going to come and I'm going to touch you." I mean, anytime someone even touched a dead corpse in the Old Testament, they had to go outside the camp and do the purification rites for so many days before they could come in. But in the new covenant, we don't flee from darkness. We put our hands on darkness. Amen. Did not the scripture say, "No, you put your hand on that"? Oh, you know, it would take a little faith to put your hand on gangrene. Amen. But the principle is, death is not transferring to us. No, life is transferring from us to the affliction and to the problem. And that's why God, your loving Father, is coming toward you in whatever state you were in and whatever state you're currently in. The same passage in the Living Bible, paraphrase. Why don't we read this out loud together? Ready, go. When we were what? Utterly helpless with no way of escape, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners who had no use for him. Even if we were good, we really wouldn't expect anyone to die for us, though of course that might be barely possible. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Love that. While we were still, i.e., when we were at our worst, God sent his best. And that's the story of grace, is it not? That's the miracle of grace. That's comprehending God's love that's mapped out for us in Scripture. And that's why it's important to get in this book. Otherwise, we might believe the lie. I mean, who would be attracted to someone utterly helpless, unlovable? I mean, it's hard to compute that. Yet those who believe on him by faith, he actually calls his bride. Hear this. He does not swipe left. He swipes right. Amen. God swipes right as we, some of you folks, well, what in the heck? Well, a few of you younger folk, you know. Amen. You respond by faith to God's love for you. Your profile pic pops up and he swipes right. He accepts. Why would he do that? People struggle with imposter syndrome when something good happens to them. Why would he do that? Die for us while we were yet unattractive, sinners, helpless. Because of his great love. It's a miracle. It's amazing. Grace, pure grace. And we respond to his sacrifice and to his call, and then wonderful things happens. Glory to God, he swipes right concerning us. He accepts us, wants us, chooses us, and there is going to be a marriage. Amen. There is going to be a marriage. You may not feel like it, but you are the bride of Christ. The gospel is, in fact, great news, good news, but we must believe it. We must respond. We know Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 on this Easter, he said, now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. He went on to say, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. That Christ, what, died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel right there. God, he died, was buried, was raised. He died, was buried, was raised. He died, was buried, was raised. And then that should provoke the question, well, why did he have to do it? Because we were in a fix. Unattractive, ungodly, off-putting, et cetera, et cetera. Some of these stories you heard, there were some kind of tough goings. Others were more on the moralistic side of the ark. But how many of you know that to God, all of our righteousness is of filthy rags? Matter of fact, did Romans not say there's none good, not even one? All have turned aside. Amen. There's no fear of God before their eyes. No, not one. I mean, the greatest saint of all, their righteousness, filthy rags. They are tattered. They too are jacked up. Amen. So that's why there's no need to compare. All it takes to become a sinner is how many? One sin. How many murders before you're a murderer? One. Just one infraction with all of our help, with all of our best efforts. That's why sometimes rascals make good disciples, because they know and knew they were a mess. Hello? Versus like the older brother of the prodigal, you know, I've done everything right. You know, it's like you've forgotten grace. You've forgotten His mercy and His kindness. You see, when we were at our worst, God sent His best. Talk is cheap. Christ's death and resurrection unequivocally show, reveal, and prove His great love for you and for me. Why in the world would anyone reject that? Amazingly, He leaves the choice to us. He doesn't force us, but He has put His love on total display. It's on total display. The holy and the perfect moves toward the broken, the sinful, and the helpless. The holy and the perfect. I mean, He dwells in unapproachable light, yet He stoops down to dress us with righteousness. Glory be to God. His blood applied, the benefits of His cross, and that's our confidence, the cross, His resurrection, His name, His blood. Amen. These are the ingredients of salvation. Then the Father looks at us through the lens of Jesus, swipes right, accepts us. Amen. And again, there is a great marriage supper of the Lamb to come. But He put that love on display. He makes a move towards us. And oh, how, quote, unseemly we were. Paul went on to say in Romans 5, he said, since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be, what, saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Oh, happy getting up day. He did it for you. He did it for me. We were unattractive. We were off-putting. We had pillow head. We had grease on our face. There was dirt and grime. Hello? Now we can wash up like that pig. Amen. But in that state, God sees through it. Again, when you think you're an imposter, God knows we're all that way. We've got nothing. People say, well, if I come to the Lord, I'm not ready yet. I want to come for the right reasons. What right reasons? What do you have to offer? Nada. I want to come for the... No, it's like, He's God, you're not. We're reprobate. We've offended a holy God. Amen. It's like we have nothing to bring, but we can believe and we can respond and say yes to Your love for me. And that's all it is. It's just so simple on this Easter Sunday. That's all it is. He calls me. He sees me just like that Billy Graham altar call anthem, just as I am, without one plea. It's all based on mercy that He has for me. Amen. It's all by grace. You think I'm jacked up? You think you're jacked up? Well, we're both jacked up, but you think you're jacked? Great. Take a ticket and stand in line. Amen. Imposter syndrome. I don't deserve this. If He only knew. If He only knew. Oh, He knows. And He's moving toward you still. He sees the contamination, but He's moving toward you still. He's moving toward you. We, like the lepers, want to go, no, Lord, unclean, unclean. I know. That's why I'm taking the blood of my Son and I'm applying it to you. I'm putting the ointment on you. I'm putting the oil on you. I'm putting presence on you. I'm putting my identity on you. I'm putting sonship on you. I'm giving you a place at the table. It was never about you. It's me coming toward you. I'm coming toward that gangrene. I'm coming toward that off-putting spirit, that ungodliness. I'm moving toward you, and I'm going to melt that hard heart and grant you a heart of flesh. And at the end of the day, there'll be no mystery. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. I've got nothing to add to the equation. God's so good. Thank God He died. Thank God He was buried and He was raised. Thank God, because I was a mess. I was a mess, and I tried and I tried. You heard that up here. People tried good works, good efforts, instead of just throwing in the towel and saying, I'm a knucklehead. I'm an idiot. I can't do a thing. And here He comes. I mean, He comes aggressively. He comes fervently. And all we've got to do is say yes. When we say yes, He swipes right. When we were at our worst, he gave his best. Oh, happy day. I'm glad he got up. I'm glad he got up. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these testimonies this morning. Thank you, Lord. We heard just people at different stages in life, different scenarios, some deep in sin, some not as bad as the person next door, as it were, but still fallen. For you said all have fallen, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Lord, you're coming in glory to restore us to relationship, to help us, to lift us up. You know, there's a passage in the scriptures where it says, and God bowed down low to make us great. It's all about God. All we did through grace was have the frame of mind to say, okay, I'll accept, I'll respond, I receive. I want this. I want this. If you're here today and you would say, Pastor, I want this. Not only I want this, I need this. This great unconditional love that you prescribe. I need this. I've been judging myself by myself. When I have good days, when I have bad days, when I fail, if you would say, Pastor, I want this. I've been doing it on my own, or I have been in compromise willingly and overtly, but I now need to come out from under that double life, as it were, and I need to receive the free gift of righteousness due to his love. While we're praying, throw your hand up if that's you. You're like, I need this. I need this. Anybody else? I need this. I want this. No more striving, performance. That's all swallowed up. Our performance doesn't impress him. He's only impressed by Jesus. God the Father is only impressed by Jesus. He's only impressed by Jesus and his sacrifice. But when we say yes, we clothe ourselves in him. So Lord, I just pray for everyone here that we would, Father, fathom how wide and deep is the love of God, that nothing can separate us from that great love. No height, no depth, nothing on earth, nothing under the earth for sure. We declare and decree, if God be for us, who can be against us? Thank you for getting up for us and moving near us. Thank you for changing us. Let's just pray out loud. Dear Jesus, thank you for coming, for dying and getting up for me. I want to walk in deeper revelation of this great love for me. I know I have stuff, but that doesn't define me. Your love defines me. And because I say yes today in a greater dimension, it's going to impact my life and it's going to change me. I am the beloved of God. I am the beloved of God. While I was at my worst, he sent his best. Lord, I pray you seal that with everyone. Let resurrection life and power resonate within every heart today, God. Let everybody that is bruised and broken and needs a touch of your healing, just right now, if that's you, put your hand on that place in your body. The same spirit of holiness that raised Jesus from the dead now quickens your mortal body. Touch them. Lord, blood pressure, cholesterol, joint issues, feet issues. As silly as it sounds, I'm just hearing pinky. Someone's got a foot pinky issue. Well, that matters to God. Amen. He sees it all. It's all small to him. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, touch us due to love. Save us. Heal us. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen.